Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in to the podcast. We have a great word to share with you today at Destiny Church. Sit back, be encouraged, and let's get into the word.
We have ventured into the book of 1 John. We are doing a series. We're in chapter 3. And today's the title of the series is That You May Know. And the subtitle is today, Take a Walk on the Wild Side. Take a Walk on the Wild Side. We've done each chapter a little bit differently, and today is going to be no different. Let's see here. What are we going to do? For time's sake, I'm going to read the chapter to you quickly, perhaps make an observation or two. And then we're going to jump off and take a look at three particular verses. Is that okay with you today? All right, so let's do this. Beginning at verse number 1, how great is the love of the Father he's lavished on us that we should be called what? The children of God. This is all very important to what he's going to be talking about today. We're his children. And that we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are what? Children. In other words, we belong to him. We're created by him. We're the children of God. We will be as has not yet been made known, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this, underline this one, anyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure, purifies himself. Remember that. Remember John's talking to the Gnostics who continued to sin, who felt they were allowed to continue to sin. Why? Because they had that secret knowledge. That's the Gnostics that he's combating, that heresy in the first century. Oh, I know all that. And because I know it, then I can go act like however I want. So he's battling that, remember. So everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that when he appears so that he might take away our sins, and in him is no sin, no one who lives in him keeps on or continues sinning. No one who continues in sin has either seen him or known him. So, dear children, there it is again, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. And the reason the Son of God appears was to destroy the devil's work. Here's your next verse to underline. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed, underline that, remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. He's his child. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. And this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Remember the greatest commandment. So don't be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil. His brothers were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you. Let me try that again. Don't be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. You know that no murderer has eternal life in him. So what is love? Here it is. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Underline this. Dear children, let us love not with words or tongue alone, but with actions and in truth. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. Whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Oh, just trust your heart, brother. Don't you dare. Right? Dear friends, if our hearts condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. And this is the command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Those who obey his commands live in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. A couple things, and then we'll let you go home or go to Hy-Vee to buy some toilet paper. By the way, if you haven't shared our social media this morning or on Facebook, go ahead and share that link so your friends can that are not in church today can join us. Welcome again to those of you that are watching online. We have a handout here this morning. I'll post it later online if you're interested so that you can fill in the blanks with us here. But I want you to know that any goal that you have is simply, without an action, is just a wish. Any goal without an action is just a wish. We know that talk is cheap, and that we need to lead by example. So, this means we need to walk our talk. So I have something here for you on the screen. I'd like you to say it with me. It's a little confusing, but let's say it together just so we can get it in our spirits. Your talk talks and your walk talks, but your walk talks more than your talk talks. Let's try it again. I know it's a bit confusing. Here we go. Your talk talks and your walk talks, but your walk talks more than your talk talks. Wouldn't it be nice if we taught every child on the face of the earth, every adult on the face of the earth. Let's try it again, one more time. Your talk talks and your walk talks, but your walk talks more than your talk talks. Is this true? Of course it is. So I've got three verses out of 1 John chapter 3 that are going to take us to the wild side, making sure that we walk our talk. Verse 3, 9, and 18, I ask you to underline them as we read through it. Let's start with verse 3. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself. Wait a second. Who purifies me? It says I purify myself. So that's the walk on the wild side. We know from 1 Corinthians, though, in chapter 1, verse 30, it says, because of him that you are in Christ, who has become for us the wisdom of God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. So he became for us our holiness. So here's how it works. Let me tell you. When you gave or you give your life to Jesus, you become holy. He views you through blood-stained glasses, through the blood of Jesus. He sees you as you are righteous. But what happens is the moment you get up from your knees on the day that you pray that prayer, you say, God, I want you in my life. Please forgive me. Wash me clean. You go right back out into a dirty, filthy world. Right? I don't care how clean your clothes are. When you walk through a field of mud, you end up getting dirty again. Jesus said, I washed you, but here's what's going to happen. You can't willfully walk through mud fields anymore. There's something for you to do in this holiness walk. Keep yourself clean. Again, who are we talking? We're talking to the Gnostics who said, oh yeah, I know that. I can go walk through the mud field if I want to. I can go get as dirty as I want. I can be wet because God made me holy. Well, yes, that's true. But there is responsibility for you and me. I have a little video to show you about this problem. Check it out.
Being pure is not easy. You're drawn to the mud and dirt. It might start with just a splash and a puddle, but like a rainstorm in July, it can sneak up on us. What we look at, what we listen to, and what we speak can soil our minds and corrupt our hearts. And before long, we can find ourselves filthy. If you put filth in you, filth will be what comes out of you. If you stay in it long enough, you won't even realize it's there. It will get between your toes and your ears, stain your skin, and get so far into your fingernails, you'll have to wait for the dirt to grow out. You'll believe it's natural to live in the mud. I was born this way, you'll say, trying to convince others to join you. You might even sling mud at your friends, hoping it will stick to them. Then you won't be alone in your filth. And after all, they with their clean minds and shirts are no better than you. Rather, they are naive and unenlightened. They don't realize that it is truly good to eat dirt. You can live, breathe, and eat mud, but there is another way. A way that attempts to avoid the mud holes and filth. clean, holy, pure. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any moral excellence, and if there's any praise, dwell on these things.
That's how we were born to live, but we get dirty. And the problem is we continue to get dirty, right? So every day, John says, just like before, we must come to him to be made clean. This is how we purify ourselves, is when we go back to the foot of the cross. Remember last week, chapter 2, verse 1, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, in other words, we will sin, we have one who speaks to the Father on our defense. So number one, wash yourself. Wash yourself. If you know you're filthy, wash yourself. Get back in the pool. Amen? Number two. Number one is wash yourself. Number two is check yourself. A walk on the wild side is you're going to check yourself. Verse number nine is where we're headed. No one who is born of God will what? Continue to sin, because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. Continue, a long protracted form, keeps on sinning, habitual, continual action. So it's like, oh no, I sin. No, I'm talking about when you make plans to sin. You know what I'm talking about? It's one thing, oh man, I'm so sorry. But it's like, no. I know this isn't right, but doggone it, everybody else is doing it. Or no one will see me. Or it's all good. No, it's not all good. In fact, if you read this in King James chapter 3, verse 1, this is what it says. Whoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed, interesting word, we're looking at that for a second, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot, in other words, continue to sin because he is born of God. The word seed there, really, really interesting, is the Greek word sperma. Something that is sown, including the male sperm. By implication, offspring. That's what it said in the NIV. We're his. And NIV is seed. King James is seed. By implication, his offspring. Specifically, a remnant, figuratively, as if kept over for planting. What? So, his seed, he made us children. Remember, that's the word he keeps talking about, you children, and children. And his seed remains in you, not just for your sake, but it is a seed that is to be replanted. You know, in the last days, there's a certain kind of seed that you want. You just don't want a seed out of any old tomato plant. You want a seed out of an heirloom plant. You know what an heirloom seed is? Because the genetically modified seeds that we plant in our gardens, you can take the seeds out of those plants and they won't reproduce. They're not fertile. They've been designed to grow big and juicy and luscious. But if you want a seed, like in the last days kind of seed, you want a seed. You're not going to harvest your tomatoes out of your plant. You need a special kind of seed. They're called heirloom seeds. And these are seeds that are not genetically modified. These are like the good old-fashioned seeds that you can take the seed from that, plant it, and get another one of them, which you can't do with the seeds that we have today. The same is true in the church. God says, I put this seed in you so you can reproduce yourself. Reproduce yourself. When you gave your life to Jesus Christ, you were grafted into God's family, for a purpose, and the purpose is to reproduce yourself. It's time to stop continued sin and to bear good fruit. You continue in your sin, the consequences are grave. John, who is our author today, also wrote the Gospel of John. And in chapter 15, I'm not going to read the whole thing for you, but in chapter 15, he talks about he being the vine and you being the branches. And you were grafted in. In other words, there are these branches, they got broken off because of unbelief. Now we're going to slap you back in. We're going to knit you into the vine. But there's a caveat. You're just not in there to do whatever you want. There's a purpose for you being grafted into the vine, and that is to produce fruit. Now, two things will happen if you produce fruit. The first thing that will happen is God will be happy. He will smile. You're producing fruit. The second thing that that verse of scripture promises you is that good branch producing pieces of the vine will get pruned. Amen. You won't get cut off, but you're going to get pruned. So you're either going to get cut, you're either going to get trimmed, or you're going to be cut off. Those are your two choices. I would prefer just to have a little nip and tuck rather than the whole shebang. Because if you get totally cut off, verse number 6 of John 15, that type of branch is thrown away and it withers. Such branches are picked up and they're thrown into the fire to burn. Because no one, our verse, who is born of God will continue to sin. Now, if you have continued sin in your life, I have some advice for you. The advice comes from Barney Fife. It's the old Andy Griffith Show, and he had a saying, nip it, nip it, nip it in the bud. Check yourself before you wreck yourself. And so, because I'm married to a nurse who administers chemo and cancer treatments, this check yourself is a pretty important thing. Because you want to take care of those matters. You want to discover those matters privately before the doctor says, oh, guess what? Look what we found. Don't you? You want to catch them in their early stages. You want to nip it in the bud, not have it spilled all over the newspapers or your family or your friends or your boss or the church. I got a video. It's time for you to nip it in the bud. Tell your neighbor it's time to nip it in the bud.
Nip it. Nip it in the bud.
What in the bud?
You and Jeff, that's what. Nip it. Tell them you're mine.
Barney Fife, I do believe you're jealous.
Doggone a Thelma Lou, you're my girl, ain't you?
Of course I am.
All right, then nip it.
I say this calls for action, and now, nip it in the bud. First sign a youngster's going wrong, you got to nip it in the bud. Nip it. You go read any book you want on the subject of child discipline, and you'll find that every one of them is in favor of bud nipping.
Take care of it.
Only one way to take care of it.
Nip it.
In the bud. Set up a checkpoint, nip this speed, and right in the bud.
Forget about her. Nip it in the bud. Barney's in jail.
Now, the minute it looks like there's going to be trouble, we got to nip it. Nip it in the bud. Let's hear it. Nip it back.
I had way too much fun this week, really, putting that together. So what do? Number one, we wash ourselves. Number two, we check ourselves, or in other words, we nip it in the bud. Last verse, verse 18. Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue only, but with actions and in truth. Wash yourself, check yourself, express yourself. In other words, just do it. James chapter 1, verse 22 says, do not merely listen to the words and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Remember? Say it with me. Your talk talks and your walk talks, but your walk talks more than your talk talks. Some of you are not playing with me. Let's try again. Your talk talks and your walk talks, but your walk talks more than your talk talks. Thank you. James chapter 1, verse 22 in the Message Bible sounds like this. Don't fool yourself into thinking that you are a listener when you are anything but. Letting the word go in one ear and out the other. Act on what you hear. Those who hear and don't act are like those who glance in the mirror, walk away, and 2 minutes later have no idea who they are or what they even look like. But whoever catches a glimpse of the revealed counsel of God, the free life, even out of the corner of his eye and sticks with it, is not distracted or scatterbrained, but a man or a woman of action. That person will find delight and affirmation in the action. And anyone who sets himself up as a religious person by talking a good game only is self-deceived. This kind of religion is a bunch of hot air and only hot air. Real religion, the kind that passes muster before God and the Father, is this: reach out to the homeless and the loveless in their plight and guard against corruption from a godless world. There's an old, I don't even know who sings that country western song that says, a little less talk and a lot more action. I mean, you talk about helping others. I mean, you talk a good game. You talk about giving to the poor. You talk about witnessing. You talk about making a difference. You talk about going to connect group. You talk about foster parenting. You talk about adopting a child. You talk about helping at the shelter or going on a mission trip or learning to preach. You talk about it. You talk about it. If you talk a good game, if all you do is talk a good game, you're a loser. You're a Monday morning armchair quarterback. You're useless. You're a bunch of dead weight. On this, listen to me, listen to the metaphor. On this great gospel ship, right? It's an old metaphor for the church. This great gospel ship. It's not a cruise ship. Can I just tell you that? Praise the Lord. It's not the Prince's cruise ship. Amen. This is a working vessel. And there is an oar for every one of you. So when the king walks by and asks to see your hands, there should be calluses thereon. This is not, the gospel ship is not for you to find some chaise lounger in the shade and order drinks with umbrellas in it and say, thank you, may I have another, please? No, there's a lot of churches like that and a lot of pastors will play to that. Not me. Homie, don't play that game. This is a working vessel. You must do what comes out of your mouth. Oh, you can talk about being full of faith and you can talk about being brave, but unless you step out and you say, this is what I believe, this is what I do, and this is what I'm going to do, and this is what I am doing, and take a stand in your family, take a stand in your community, you're just a bunch of hot air. You're actually making it harder for those of us who are rowing because we're pulling your dead weight. Oh, see, I just got a little bit too intense there for some. He doesn't like me. He doesn't like me. No, no, no. No, 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 no. I think sometimes God says, I had to make you uncomfortable, otherwise you'd never move. If you only come to church to listen and take notes and don't lead by example, you're a loser. I don't know how else to tell you that. You're a fake, you're a phony. You're a counterfeit bill. So you know what happens with counterfeit bills? They don't get put under frame. They don't get put hung on the wall. They burn them because they're not the real deal. Oh, you have aspirations, you have goals, but remember, a goal without an action is just a wish. Newsflash, the Holy Spirit's talking. Newsflash, the Holy Spirit's talking. Perhaps he's saying, I just had to make you a little uncomfortable. Otherwise, you'd never move until the pain of remaining the same is greater than the pain of change, you will not change. Or the fear, because you know the media is really good at sowing fear. Because if it bleeds, it leads. If they can get you to be afraid of something, they can get you to buy anything. Last I checked, I'm not supposed to have a spirit of fear. Why? Why? Are you crazy? No, I'm already dead. I'm already dead. I died to myself and my own aspirations. And now for me to live is for Christ in me. So what is my responsibility? Only to be an ambassador of the king from what kingdom I came. Come on now. Number one, wash yourself. Number two, check yourself. Number three, express yourself. That's how you take a walk on the wild side. That makes you weird. That makes you unusual. That makes you a little bit wild. I'm not talking about wildlife like the world talks about wildlife. I'm talking about being a Christian in the wild. Huh? Too many people have domesticated the lion of the tribe of Judah. They put him in a cage. I mean, no, 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 no. I always thought they said Pennsylvania. Ah, Pennsylvania. I never knew what they said. But that's what I thought they said. I don't know. Right? Express yourself. Here's what I've learned. Time flies. You can either be its pilot or its passenger. Because time flies, I will purpose to be the pilot and not the passenger. It's because you can complain about your situation, or you can determine right now that you will renounce the world's demand for mediocrity. The world does not demand that you do great things. The world demands that you comply. Comply. Do what we tell you, when we tell you, no more, no less. Comply. I don't have that in me. And you shouldn't either. The only thing we should comply to is the word of God. This is my constitution. This is my life. This is my purpose to do what he has told me to do. So come on, people, life's too short. Play the stupid rat race game. Striving, trying to keep up with the Joneses. How about you do the gospel? How about you wash yourself, you check yourself, and you do it, you express yourself. So I want to leave you with this. Don't talk about it, be about it. Don't talk about it, be about it. Better you not say a word than just go out and do it. Be kind, be compassionate. Be understanding. You see a mom with kids that needs some help, doggone it, help her. If it's within your ability to do it, do it. Well, then I might not have enough toilet paper. Well, you got a Dallas Cowboys jersey, don't you? Come on. Come on. Come on. I was going to do the Cubs or the Cardinals, but I decided I'd leave alive today. So will we do the right thing every time? No. Will you stumble sometimes? Yes. Will you occasionally fail? Of course. But when you fail, begin to look at those as simply installments on your impending victory. And note that any victory that you have in life simply buys you an admission ticket to a more challenging opportunity. Oh, God, get me through this, and God gets you through that. And you think somehow that now insulates you from future troubles? He goes, great, you can lift that. Let's try a little more. Any victory that you have only buys you an admission ticket to a more challenging opportunity. So get used to it. Get used to being trimmed, getting used to being nipped in the bud, walking your talk, being persecuted because you make a stand for righteousness. Be about it. Take a walk on the wild side. Wash yourself daily. Jump into the pool of his goodness. Wash yourself. Wash yourself. Then check yourself. Nip it. Nip it, nip it in the bud. And then express yourself. Don't just talk about it, be about it. So this applies to two categories of us, because the world can always be divided into two pieces. That's a wonderful idea. I don't have time to talk to you about that. But I do want to tell you, there's only two types of people in this room today. Those that are saved and those who aren't saved. That's the categories. Those who love God, and those who, something else is at the top of the list. Yourself, your job, your kids, your family, your home, your money. I mean, your enemy really wants you just to put anything else there. He doesn't care what you put there. He'll let you die being a workaholic as much as being an alcoholic. He doesn't care. As long as you die, not putting your faith in Jesus. So there's only two categories. And these three things apply to all of us. Number one, get washed. So if you don't know Jesus, you come and he makes you clean. Does that mean you'll never get dirty again? Laugh break. Does that mean you'll never get dirty again? No. but it means you now have a pool. You have access to the pool of his blood that will wash you when you plunge yourself beneath that. Those of us who've done that, but then have continual sin, that are doing some stuff that you just wouldn't want on the front screen at church, you wouldn't want on the front page of the newspaper, then my advice, nip it. Nip it in the bud. And number three, can we be about the Lord's business? Can we actually do it? Because we can talk about flying an airplane all day long, but until you get in the cockpit and you pull that thing, that yoke back, and you're up there doing it yourself, you're really not a pilot. You can talk a good game, but can you do it? These are the times that try men's souls. In the course of human events, there have been different opportunities for the church to arise, some of which she's risen to and some of which she's failed tragically. I would that in time, should the Lord tarry, that he looks back upon this time, he looks back upon your life, and he smiles, not shakes his head like, gosh, I gave them another opportunity and they didn't do it. But the church stands up to be the church. Yes, the church should. Well, wait a second, you're the church. Just remember, this room is just keeping us all honest here. Well, the church should. Yes, you should. Yes, you should. So I pray that the peace of God is on your life. Now, when you leave this place today, that there's no fear in you, that you live your life bold and audacious with a smile on your face, not kowtowing to people to tell you what you should do and when you should do it. As it relates to gathering here. Yes, I'm not advocating anarchy. Please, I get quoted out of context so often, I wish I had a dollar, I'd be a millionaire for every time that happened. Know my heart, hear my heart today. We are the children of God. We are the seed of heaven. We must reproduce ourselves. If we don't, we are one generation away from extinction. There won't be another harvest if we don't reproduce ourselves. Would you stand with me this morning, please? Let's take a moment and pray. Father, thank you for those that are gathered with us online, those that are listening, those that are viewing the live stream, those of us gathered in this place today. Father, we come to you in humility. We come to you with our brokenness. We come to you an absolute mess without you. So the strength that we have, the determination that we have, the vigor that we have, it's really not ours. It's you living through us. So Father, we willingly yield our lives to you this morning. And if this is the first time you've ever done that, it's very simple. You say, Lord, I give you my life. I yield to you. It's like when you come to a four-way intersection and you just say, I'm going to yield. I'm going to let God go first in my life. That's what you do. And he washes you clean. He says, there you go. You and me, brand new start. Now, hang on. We got a lot to do. And then he takes you on a journey. And sometimes you fall off, and sometimes you struggle, and sometimes you get dirty again. But he just stands right there and waits for you. And he picks you back up. He says, you ready? Okay, let's keep going. So today is the first day you do that. Right now in this moment, you say, Lord, I yield to you. Jesus, you're the boss. You're in charge of my life. And for those of us that have done that before, but yet stumbled and fallen and living in continual sin, Lord, we repent. That means we turn around, not just in our mind, but with our actions too. We're not going to do that anymore. With your help, Lord, with your help, we walk away from that sin so that we can please you. And in so doing, we then gird ourselves with the sword and the shield, with the belt of truth, and the helmet of salvation to advance the kingdom, to lift high the cross, and to actually be not just hearers, but doers of your word. Thank you, Father. Thank you for that hope that you give us this morning. So we dedicate ourselves to that. We dedicate ourselves to you and to your word and to you only. So that at the end, when we breathe our last and we close our eyes here and open them in heaven, we see the one who died for us and says, well done, well, well, well done, my daughter. Well done, my son. Come on in. Lord, that's what I live for, that day to see you face to face. So may your hand of grace lead us through, keep us whole, healthy, and strong to serve you another day. And may your peace rest upon us to guide us through the dark times, to give us the strength and the determination, the boldness to shake the salt out of our shaker of our lives, to make a difference for your glory. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, Jesus, and the one who empowers you to do all that, the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said amen. Amen, amen, and amen. All right, God bless you all.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If today's message encouraged you, please share it with someone who needs to hear it. Stay up to date with new messages by becoming a subscriber today. To find events taking place or to give to Destiny Church, visit us at destiny217.org. At Destiny Church, you can find real, relevant relationships.